I want to talk to you today about progress, and I want to start by exposing what we have over here, and just brace yourself for a minute. And we got some dry bones. Now, if you're visiting with us today for the first time, don't panic and say, honey, get your purse. I knew these people were out of there. We're talking about Ezekiel and those dry bones today. So I wanted to have these on here for an illustration to kind of tie into the message. But it was funny, our youngest son, Bob, who's, how old is Bob, sir? Three now. She has to tell me all of that. I don't know. And one time I went to go check in one of the kids at a doctor's office, and they asked for the birth date. And I'm texting Sarah real quick, like, wait, what's their birth date? And the lady said, are you sure these are your kids? And I'm like, yep. No, they are. I don't remember. Anyway, he has this weird obsession. If you've ever gone to Lowe's, a home improvement store, when you go in, they have this big Halloween display, and you can touch the things, and they all come alive and do this thing. And unfortunately, he's obsessed with it. And so he calls it the Halloweena. And he always wants to go to the Halloweena and see the Halloweena. And so whenever we go to Lowe's, of course, he beelines it over there. And I say to Sarah, I pray, please let no church people walk through the door right now. And here's our whole family gathered around the Halloween section. And Bob's just running, turning everything on. And the witches are coming alive and everything else. But anyway, so my point is, he was pretty excited when he saw the skeletons up here. So pray for us, because I don't know if that's a sign or what we got to do with that. But he's excited about his Halloweena. Anyway, well, my goal for you today is to, for us really, as we move through this service, is for you to progress in your walk of faith today, that you would leave here better than you were when you came in, full of more life, full of more hope, full of change, that God would push you into the next thing for your life. I believe that sometimes the reason that we don't go into the next step for us that God has for us is no one's pushed us there, right? And my goal today is to persuade you, to push you kicking and screaming into what God has for you next. Can anybody say amen to that? So I want to start with a verse of scripture found in Ezekiel 37, verse 1. And here's what it says. It says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit. I want you to remember those words, in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley. And indeed, they were very, very dry. Everybody say very, very dry. I want to point some things out in this story, because if you've been around church life for a little bit, you probably know the story of Ezekiel and the dry bones. But there's some things that I stumbled into this week as I studied for this message that I think will help us see it in a different light and hopefully bring some additional revelation and life change to us by seeing it. If you follow through with this prophecy, this vision that Ezekiel is in, you will find that later on in this scripture, it says that these bones represent the household of Israel. So I want you to, let me just walk you through this for a second. So Daniel is in a vision. Remember, it said that he was picked up in the spirit and set down in the valley of dry bones. So where's Daniel? Is he in the natural? No, he's in the spirit. So what he's seeing is in the spirit world, right? But the verse would go on to later say, but these bones represent the household of Israel, God's people, Israel. So in the natural, the house of Israel looked very different than they did in the spiritual sense. Are you with me this morning? In the natural for the house of Israel, things looked normal. They woke up. They went to work. They did life, took their kids to school, had drop-off. On the outside, everything looked normal. But God said in the spirit, They are anything but normal. They are nothing but a pile of dried up bones. What I want you to know is people around you today might look put together. Like if you look, people sitting around you, everybody's dressed great. We look put together. Our social media accounts look on point. We've got likes. Our houses, I saw posted this week, and they don't go to church here, so I ain't calling nobody out. But I've been to their house, and they posted a picture of like a front door, a fall, and all these things. And everyone's commenting, man, your house is so beautiful. And I'm like, I've been to your house. That's not your house. That's not even close to your house. So you literally stole somebody else's picture. And it's not like they corrected anybody in the comments. Hey, sorry, guys, not my house. They were taking all of the praise, right? We know that online you can create any world around you that you want to. But the fact of the matter is people on the outside can appear one way but be very, very different on the inside. That's why God said he does not look on the outward appearance of man, but on the inward appearance. Like if you remember when Israel went to find a king, like God said David would have done a great job. But no, they wanted somebody who was tall and fit the mold, and it ended up in destruction for them. Why? Because they were more concerned about how things looked outwardly than they were inwardly. So what I'm saying is in the natural, the house of Israel was very much alive, doing what they do, going to carpool, picking up their kids, going to the grocery store. But inwardly, their marriages were dry bones. Their families were dry bones. Their futures and visions that were once full of life now were dead and desolate, dry bones. But the thing that I want you to pay attention to in this story is they didn't get like this overnight. They didn't go to bed alive and wake up bones. Like even if you just in the natural look at that process, like it takes a long time for you to become alive to a pile of dead, dry bones, right? Like there's a long process to get there. And that's what I want us to focus in on today, that it is a process that led them there. Everybody say process. God always works in process. Like, do you understand that God could have created the world by just snapping his fingers and instantaneously it was all here? But he didn't. He went through a process. He started on day one and separated things and created different things. And he went through a process of creation. I believe what he was teaching us is that anything worth having requires a process. If you want to understand God, you have to understand process. And man, I know you would love for him to snap your fingers and just fix it all for you, right? But most of the time, he doesn't. Now, I believe that our generation is cursed with this thing called instant gratification. Instant gratification. You know, it's so interesting. This week, actually, as I ordered from Amazon these skeleton bones, they gave me an interesting option. They said, you can have it in 2 days for free, or you can pay $2.99 and have it here between 5 and 7 p.m. And it was 1 o'clock. And I thought, man, where are you storing this stuff that you can have it in like 3 hours at my house? Like, are there vans of bones just driving around just in case somebody says, hey, I want them, get them here now, right? Well, I don't know why, but I paid the $2.99 to get them now because why wait? Why? I had time, but why wait 2 days and I can get them today, right? And Amazon, man, they have messed us up. They've messed us up. Like, you know, it used to be, you know, preachers of old would say, this microwave generation, just pop it in the microwave and 2-3 minutes, it's there. Come on. We've upped the microwave with something called an Instapot. Like that has like shattered, like if you never used an Instapot, like it'll revolutionize your life, right? It makes everything so quick. So we have been cursed, if you will, with an instantaneous culture that when we want something, we want it and we want it now. We want God to do it and we want God to do it now. We want our marriages turned around and we want it now. We want our families to be saved. We want a job promotion. We want our finances blessed. We want it now. But God says you don't get it now. You get it in the process. Come on, somebody. If you look at Ezekiel, scripture we just read, verses 5 and 6, it takes the process of coming to life and it flips it and shows you how they got there. It begins to show the process of restoration because, spoiler alert, Ezekiel begins to prophesy to the bones and they begin to come back to life. But how they got back to life, I believe if you reverse that process, it will reveal the process that took place to get them there. And I want to walk you through that a little bit this morning. You ready? The first thing that they would have lost is breath. You know, anything that dies, the first thing it loses is its breath. And I believe that shows us spiritually that once we've lost connection with the Spirit of God, death is knocking at the door. Listen, they stopped taking their relationship with the Holy Spirit seriously. And when you stop connecting with the Holy Spirit and you stop leaning in to the Holy Spirit and he stops becoming the life source that you need and crave, when you stop spending time with the Holy Spirit and consulting the Holy Spirit, what begins to happen? You are losing contact with the very breath of God on the inside of you. Remember, Jesus isn't on earth anymore. What did he do? He went up to heaven and he did a high five handoff with the Holy Spirit and said, it's better that I go away so that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, can come alongside of you. Right? So he said the Holy Spirit is better to have than Jesus himself. Come on. And so what does he say? It's our life. It's our breath. It's our hope. And whenever we start moving away from our dependency on the Holy Spirit, we stop communing with the Holy Spirit. We stop doing life with the Holy Spirit. It will not be long before we lose our breath. In this process of decay, after breath is lost, most people will show signs that their skin turn blue, and they would eventually lose their skin. And I believe it amplifies that what begins to happen internally will always start to show externally. And again, I know this might sound deep this morning, but suddenly your attitude changes. I'm not dependent on God like I used to be. I think I can do this on my own. Suddenly I have a bad attitude. My anger's out of control. I'm talking short to everybody because why? Something shifted on the inside of me, and where I was reliant on the Holy Spirit to help me, to keep me, to protect me, to, you know, guide me in all things. Now I'm trying to do it on my own strength, and when it shifts inwardly, it will always be exposed outwardly. So they begin to lose their skin and begin to get visible. The third thing that would eventually be lost would be their muscle. Of course, we know muscle is the representation of strength, or it really is strength. Muscle was what would give them strength to stand up to the enemy that was coming against them. And for many people, the reason that they don't have the fight to stand up against the enemy is because they've lost their muscle. They've lost their strength. They can no longer fight. They can no longer stand. And then the final thing would be their ligaments, that thing that brings everything together, that holds the bones, that holds the whole body together, would eventually go away. And what would happen is bones that were connected are now separated. A body that was so tight and combined and held together is now scattered and dry and all over the place. Why? Because they lost their stability. They lost their ligaments that holds everything together. And come on, this is shown in our life when one thing happens and you completely fall apart. What does it show? My ligaments are gone. That's why the Bible says it can rain on the just and the unjust, right? But our house should be built on a rock. It doesn't mean you're not going to face hardship or trials, but it means when you are dependent on God and you're dependent on the Holy Spirit, there's that inner strength, there's that stability that holds everything together. I know not every report that I see in front of me is good, but I believe God's holding it all together. I know that not everything is working out the way I expected it, but my ligaments are still in place. I'm still able to stand. I can still lift my hands. I can still worship God. But come on, when you begin to unravel, if you will, you find yourself in a place where I no longer can hold it together. I'm falling apart. And the end result will always be a valley of very, very dry bones. But what we have done is we have become the masters of going through the motions. There's no life to it, but you're just going through the motions. You think, well, I'll work on this next week. And anybody who's tried dieting knows that next week becomes the next day, and the next day becomes next month. And then, you know, it is coming around to the holiday season, and nobody wants to be on a diet during the holiday season. So the new year is that time, right? Like, let's just start it off in the new year. And suddenly 3 years have passed and come and gone, and we haven't started anywhere. Come on. And we've never made any progress. We've just pushed it off. And then eventually we just begin to give up. We stop fighting. We stop believing that there's more. We quit fighting for our families. We quit fighting for our marriages. We quit fighting for our children. We stop believing God for the vision that He put in our heart. And when we begin to do that, dreams begin to die. Finances begin to die. Health begins to decline. Hope collapses. And it all started, remember, because it's a part of the process. It all started when they lost their breath. And then it began to show outwardly in their skin. And then they lost muscle and they stopped fighting. And then their ligaments fell apart. And now their life is spiraling out of control. And we don't know how we got here. And we don't know why this is happening. But God says, I want to bring restoration, but I need you to understand the process of how you got to where you are. Because until we understand how we got where we are, we will be destined to end up where we are again. I believe that sometimes people don't pray for revival or restoration is because they don't really believe that they're dead. They think they can still work this thing out in their own strength. So, why pray for what we can fix on our own? Or if we do pray, we want that quick fix, right? And we treat God like our drug supplier, getting us through one fix to the next fix. Just give us a fix. Give us a fix. Do it now. I don't want to feel this. I don't want to go through this. Just give me a quick fix. Can I tell you, God never uses quick fixes. God uses process. And I don't care how many pictures you have framed of it or how many pillows you have it embroidered on, God will not bless your mess. Come on. He's not trying to bless your chaos or cover your dysfunction. What does the Bible say? He says, dearly beloved, I will that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. See, the world can prosper and be in health. They can do that. But the problem is it will always lead down a road of destruction because their soul or their spirit is unhealthy. So God says, I don't want you to get into a land that you can't maintain. Why? Because if you get there out of your own strength, but your soul's not right, it's always going to lead you to chaos. So God says, it's not just about coming into the land, because remember, you know, the last few weeks we talked a lot about the Israelites, but they came out of Egyptian bondage. They were laden with the wealth of the Egyptians. They saw the plagues. They saw the miracles, manna falling from sky, all kind of miraculous things happening in their world that was incredible. But their soul wasn't right. And because their soul wasn't right, they begin to mumble and complain and say things to God like, did you bring us out here to die? So God said, listen, I could give you a quick fix and I could bring you into the promised land today. Like, we're going. But you wouldn't be able to possess the land that I'm bringing you in because your soul's wrong. Because if they couldn't trust the God who they just saw part the Red Sea, if they couldn't trust the God who watched the plagues come, if they couldn't trust the God who supernaturally rained bread from the sky every day, then they wouldn't have the trust to trust in God when he said, march around Jericho seven times without saying a word. Are you with me? And their enemies would have overtaken and destroyed them because they got into a land that they didn't have the inner strength to dwell in. Oh God, I'm preaching better than you're shouting this morning. But God doesn't want you just in the land. He wants you to possess the land. But until something shifts on the inside of you, come on, I don't want just land dwellers. I want to possess what God has me. I don't want to be just saved. I want everything God has for me. I don't want to just be a Christian. I want to open that book and see all of its promises manifested in my life, because I'm not just going in, I'm taking the land. Do I have anybody else in the room with me this morning? So God says, I can't just send you in. I got to get you through a process. I got to show you how you got to where you are so that you don't end up back where you are again. Because remember, God's plan for the Israelites was never for them to be in bondage, never for them to be taken as captives. But time and time, the story of Israel is the story of God's people coming to him, repenting, worshiping him, and then slowly drifting away until their enemies came in and took them captive. And then the enemies would take them captive. They would repent. God would deliver them. He'd bring them back into the land. They would rebuild the walls. Eventually, their focus would turn away from God. Their enemies would come back in, take them captive. Are you with me? So God says, I can't bring you in where you need to go for you to continue the cycle that you've been stuck in. Only what's dead can be revived. God will not revive what you're still keeping on life support. You want to keep trying to resurrect it on your own strength. And God says, I'm not breathing on that mess. You want God to quick fix it quick. Get me out of here. Let me not feel any pain. Just make it everything A-okay. And God says, I'm not reviving that mess. See, Ezekiel, God could have just said, Ezekiel, hey, I want you to know that Israel is struggling right now. They've got some problems. That's not what he did. He said, Ezekiel, I want to take you on a journey, and I want to put you in a valley, and I want you to tour the valley of dry bones. What was he saying? He's saying, Ezekiel, I need you to face the reality of where the people are. Because on the surface, they look alive. But internally, they're dry bones. I think God would say to the American church today, on the surface, we look alive. Our churches might be growing. We're worshiping. We know when to stand. We know when to sit down. We know when to shout. We know when to spin. But internally, it's nothing but dry bones. And God says, I'm not coming to bless dry bones. I'm not coming to rapture a church of dry bones. I'm coming to rapture a church that's full of life. And that Bible says that we have a river of living water flowing out of the inside of us. Not dead and dry, but a life-giving river. So he says, I need you to tour the valley. I need you to face the reality of where you are. And I think this shows us that sometimes the Spirit leads us where we do not want to go. Sometimes the Spirit leads you where you do not want to go. We want God to breathe on our messed up bones. We want skin, but we have no strength. But listen, God's not interested in covering your chaos. He's not going to breathe on your bad habits. He wants to take you through a process to get you out of where you are. So he said, Ezekiel, I need you to take a tour. I need you to see how bad this really is. I find it interesting that it was the Spirit that led him to the Valley of Dry Bones. It was the Spirit that led him to a place that I'm sure he would rather not go. Have you ever noticed that for some people, the Holy Spirit only leads them into blessing and to goosebumps and their wonderful gifting, but their attitude's bad. They've got no character or structure in their life. Catch them on a wrong Tuesday, and that prophecy tongue is now a cursing tongue. Come on, somebody. Because what I've found is the role of the Holy Spirit in our life is not just to give us goosebumps in a church service, but is to transform us. And many times that is through conviction. Come on, I'm preaching better than you're shouting this morning. Sometimes that is through conviction. Sometimes the Holy Spirit leads you where you don't want to go. And sometimes the reality of the Holy Spirit in your life is not because you got goosebumps. It's because you hear him saying, shut up, don't say anything, let it go. Apologize, repent, bow yourself low, serve somebody else. Come on, that's when you know the Holy Spirit is alive and well and working in your life. Not because you got goosebumps, because you had a bad attitude and he won't let you go about it until you apologize and make it right. You know the Holy Spirit's working in your life when he wakes you up at 3 a.m. and says, I'm not letting you go back to sleep until you tour this valley of dry bones and you see where things really are. Because on the surface, you're pretending that it's okay, but internally the Holy Spirit's saying it's not good. Come on, somebody. So calling and comfort don't always go together. But sometimes facing the hard reality of where we are is that birthplace of where God wants to bring us. Come on. Maybe revival and restoration in your life is happening when you start talking about what you'd rather not talk about. When you start facing the patterns and the circumstances that you'd rather just ignore. So God asks Ezekiel a question, can these bones live again? Ezekiel says, Lord, you know. Only you know. And I would hear him say to us this morning, can this marriage live? Can this family live? Can the dream live again? Only God knows. Only he can fix it. Another accountant looking at it isn't going to make it work. Another seminar isn't going to fix this. I think of the woman with the issue of blood, and the Bible says she had spent all of her money and, you know, went to every physician and came to the end of herself. And she finally said, if I but touch the hem of his garment. And sometimes, listen, you think God's mad at you because things, there are closed doors and there's rejection. And God's saying, this is just a part of the process of getting you back in line to focus in on me. Because God said, I will never build for you a life that requires or makes him unnecessary. So don't be dismayed if the job closed. God said, because you put your trust in that thing too long, you need to know that I'm your source. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I'm the one who promotes. I'm the one who has the heart of the king in their hand. Come on. So why didn't God restore the bones instantly? Listen, if God fixed it instantly, they would never know why they fell apart in the first place. God says, if I really wanted to destroy you, do you know what I would do? I would fix it instantly and let it self-destruct all over again. I would turn the situation around without ever showing you why it fell apart to begin with. The best illustration I could think of this, and I had to pre-run it by Sarah, and she said, keep it at that and say nothing more. I said, but come on, women, what if you got pregnant today and that baby grew in one day to that average 7-pound baby and you gave birth that same day? This is where she said, shut up. Sometimes she's my Holy Spirit. But listen, it would destroy you. Why? Because in that 9-month process, not only is the baby growing, but as the baby's growing, you are changing and your body's changing and bones are realigning and things are shifting so that when the promise comes to fulfillment, your body now can deliver what was going on all along in that 9-month process. So God says, I can't release you into the next thing because I got to bring you into a process that you can withstand what I'm calling you to when you get there. So God grows you before he gives you the blessing, before he gives you the promotion, before he increases the anointing. So when it seems like God hasn't answered your prayer, It's not that he hasn't heard. He says, you want that answered, then you got to go through the process. So what does he say? He says, Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy to these bones. Ezekiel 37:7 says, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I want you to see, I'll be careful how I say this, I don't want to confuse anybody, but the command of God here wasn't to pray. It was to prophesy. Because sometimes we got to stop praying. Because prayer is needed when the will of God is unknown. Ezekiel already knew the will of God. Why? Because God said, Ezekiel, I want you to prophesy. I see a great army. He showed them the end from the beginning. So I guess I'll pray to see if God wants to turn this situation around. You don't need to pray. You know his will. And when you know his will, you move out of prayer. Listen to me, because this will change your life radically. You move out of prayer and you move into prophecy. Did you know that you are a prophet in your own world? Did you know that you are called to speak things into existence? We are created in the image of God. I'm not talking about new age. We're going to just stand here and manifest everything. I'm talking about a prophet who can stare down a valley of dry bones and say, I don't see dry bones. I see an exceedingly great army. I see finances turned around. I see children serving the Lord. I see breakthrough coming to my house. Why? Because I'm not looking at the dry bones. I'm looking at the call of God and what he has spoken and released over my life. So he started speaking. And I want you to notice there was a sound. It says that the sound happened and then suddenly everything began to rattle and come back together. Do you know what the sound was? Prophecy coming forth. Revival starts with a sound. Change starts with a sound. Turnaround start with a sound. It's the sound of you releasing out of your mouth the will of God concerning your life. Understand that you weren't sent to the valley because, you know, Goliath was so big and, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. Look, God looked at the Goliath and said, I need to send a David to the Goliath. So you've been thinking that Goliath was sent to you to test you and to try you. No, no, no. You have little confidence in who you are and who God is on the inside of you. God saw a Goliath in the earth and said, you know what I need? I need to find myself a David, and I'll put Goliath and a David in the valley together. And I know, because I'm on the inside of David, I know that Goliath will go down. But here's the thing about Goliath is he never got up again. Why? Because what God does, he does forever. There are some things that God wants to restore in your life. Some things that God wants to turn around and break through in your life. There are some situations that God wants to put his hand on in your life. But it's going to start by you prophesying and understanding you are not the victim sent into the valley. If you are in a valley today, if you are struggling today, it is not because you're a victim. It's because God said, I need a victor that I can send in the valley, because only one of them are coming out, and it's not going to be Goliath. It's not going to be poverty. It's not going to be sickness. It's not going to be depression. It's going to be you walking in the victory that God's called you to walk in. Can I get a church to say amen this morning? Let's stand to our feet and worship together. Not worship. I'm going to close. I don't know why. Old habits die hard. So we make the sound of faith. I believe that this is a word for some people in the house. Yes. Why? Because you've been waiting and you've been praying, God, please, God, do it. God, turn it around. And God says, I've sent you to the valley of dry bones. Prophesy. Prophesy what you see. Quit complaining about your circumstances. Prophesy to them. Quit weeping over your checkbook. When was the last time you looked at your checkbook and said, there ain't no way and it ain't going to make any sense, but I'm going to close it and I'm going to prophesy. Checkbook, I call you blessed. I call you prosperous. His word says that David was young and old and he's never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. His word says, I'm blessed in the field and I'm blessed in the valley. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the storehouse. Everything I put my hand to do is blessed. So checkbook, I call you blessed. I call you turned around. Now I got to understand the process, because God might say, quit spending, start saving, cut that expense. You don't need 5 subscriptions to that. Cut it out. Come on. But when you lean into the process, you're going to see the blessing of God revealed in your life. The problem is we look at the checkbook and we weep and we cry and we say, why? Why am I in the valley? Why is this happening? And God says, because I've called you to open your mouth and prophesy and watch as bones come back to life. Watch as circumstances turn around. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you today that we don't stand alone. The righteous never stand alone. Just as David stood in the valley with Goliath in front of him, he didn't stand alone because you stood with him. And today, Father, I ask that you would help us frame the difficulties of our world, that where we have thought we're stuck in a valley with a giant, we're stuck in a valley of dry bones, no life can ever come of these bones. We hear your word today, calling us to prophesy to the four winds. Can these bones live again? Can this situation turn around? God, only you know. But I'll speak your word. I'll prophesy. I'll tear down powers of darkness. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. You glad you came to church this morning? Prophets, prophesy. Turn your world around one word at a time. Go home, put your children in a chair and say, I'm not leaving because I've got a word for you. You are blessed. You are called. You are chosen. You are beautiful. You are anointed. You have destiny. You have purpose. You are amazing. The call of God is all over you. Come on. You sit your husband or your wife down and say, I got some words that I want to share with you. And you prophesy. It'll turn your world around. Amen.